The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Delighted that you are here on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. A great time to check in at 770-5633. And just tell me what you're thinking, what you are thinking today, what might be bugging you. I couldn't help a couple of stories of local note that I have to share about, but a lot of fallout continuing on the Biden pardons from yesterday. And I just thought, I just realized I had never really paid much attention to the pardon power in the Constitution. But, you know, you look at this and, gosh, you could just about drive anything you want into the pardon power. It's amazing. It's quite amazing, really. I'm looking at here. It's Section 2. What is it? Article. Yeah, sorry, I've got my pocket constitution because, you know, I am a Republican. We're supposed to carry around our pocket constitutions here. But anyway, here we go. Section 2, President shall be commander of the chief of the Army and the Navy of the United States and the militia of the several states. Oh, here we go. And he shall have the power to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States, except in cases of impeachment. That's all it says. That's all it says. It doesn't say that he can't pardon friends or sons. It doesn't say that. And by the way, it says against the United States. Against the United States. I think that they've been making a big deal about it. Well, you know, this is only pardoning against federal crimes. It's only, you know, offenses against the United States government. That makes that's just nonsense, if you ask me. I mean, I'm not an attorney, but still, this is just nonsense to think that that power there says that if someone is convicted in a state court, that the president can't pardon you because the states are creations of the United States or are part of the United States. So it would be, I mean, if somebody, you know, blows up a city, let's say. And does an attack on a city, and they say, well, that's not a federal issue. Well, yeah, it is. I know we would consider it. But I'm saying, for instance, I mean, pardon power is amazing when you look at it because it's not even what you're allowed to do, but it says nothing about what you're not allowed to do. It just seems to be the only restriction on it is that you can't pardon someone who's been impeached. That's it. Matters of impeachment. Other than that, boy, you want to talk about the kingly power. And, you know, we have to remember that sometimes. And yet, ultimately, I think it's a good idea that the president has the power to pardon because you think about all the potential injustices and the corruptions. There is a court of last resort on this earth, at least in the United States, right? You can throw yourself on the mercy of the king's court. That's essentially what the presidency is. And I know we don't like to think of it, but that's what the founders were looking at it. George Washington was not happy with it being considered a king. In fact, they wanted to make him king, and he refused that. No, he didn't want to do that. Just wanted to be. It's okay with being president, though, and going back home when he was all done. But the individuals in those days were arguably made of pretty stern timber. Okay? Pretty stern timber, that is for sure. It's a quarter after six here. Join the conversation if you wish at 770-563-3770-KMED. I was reading something from the Heritage Foundation, speaking of the impeachment. And there are writers there that are thinking that, the pardon, rather. Sorry, I'm just kind of playing old tapes of the Biden administration and the Trump administration, et cetera, et cetera. But some are claiming that the pardon of Hunter Biden will actually make it easier to hold the rest of the Biden family accountable because of no longer being able, you know, there's no way that he could lie or perjure himself if he's called into court to talk about what's happening with Jim Biden or anybody else. You know, off we go. Off we go, and he has to tell the truth. But I'm kind of thinking this is going to be more along the lines that you're going to be seeing more Biden family pardons coming up over the next 2-3 weeks. That's what I figure is going to happen. What do you think? Anyway, we talk about that and other things too. 770-5633-770-KMED. By the way, my email is bill@billmyershow.com. We'll talk a little bit after the bottom of the hour news about Michael Williams. Michael Williams, the embattled Medford 549C school board member, the one who has been causing trouble because he brought up issues concerning the reassignment of Officer Josh Doney. Remember that? Remember that story here? The school resource officer. And it sure looks like there's, boy, they want to get rid of him badly. They want to get rid of him badly. I invited him on the show. He says he can't come on the show. I'll share some of his statement a little bit later in his comments. He did text message me, you know, a little bit about this. But, you know, once they are trying to charge you criminally, you know, you're showing up in school incorrectly and you carried a knife. Well, he's a hemp worker, so you would have a knife on a tool belt. And it just seems that they are trying to find anything possible to get rid of this guy, the one guy who is complaining about the reassignment of the Medford police officer in the school, who parents and kids just appeared to really like. And that officer was also raising concerns about improper safety concerns being done with the school district. And in other words, it sure looks like Medford 549C is trying to shoot and kill the messenger rather than addressing it. And, you know, it's a real circling of the wagons of the educational industrial complex rather than really getting to the bottom of it. Michael Williams appears to be operating as a disruptor. And if there is one institution that needs more disruptors, it would be sclerotic public education, filled with wokesters and a lot of grifters, in my opinion. Michael is trying to break that up, maybe going about it the wrong way in some cases. Could there be some issues with his criminality? I don't know. It just sure strikes me that they are much more willing to go after a school board member for criminality than maybe some of the dirtbag kids that are let back into school. Maybe that's what we're talking about. I don't know, but we'll see. But I'll share some of his commentary here in just a little while. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Not sure what to buy your loved one for Christmas? Can't find what you're looking for? A gift card from Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is the perfect choice. Let them choose from Legacy Bedliners, tonneau covers, canopies, running boards, floor liners, and much more. See what he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, I'm Corey with Patriot Electric, and I'm on KMED.
Joining me right now, Curtis Houck, MRC Newsbusters. He's the managing editor at Newsbusters. Curtis, it is a pleasure having you back on. I got to tell you, with the news lately, you aren't running out of any material there, are you, sir? Welcome back.
Oh, yeah, I know, Bill. I am so busy, like, it is wild. I mean, I have all kinds of requests and different things. I'm on this channel. I'm on with this radio station, and we're just burning at both ends here doing all this. You would think so much for, like, the holidays, you know, because, like, the holidays slow down. And
yeah, you know, you have a little bit of dressing or stuffing, some turkey, a bit of gravy, cranberry, you know, stuff yourself a little bit. Oh, no, not right now. It's just it's like with a fire hose. I think also part of it, though, is the Trump administration is much more disciplined this time around and getting more of the picks out early. Would that be a fair assessment, too? I think that's also generating a lot of the news cycle.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can only talk yourself into so many corners and twist yourself so many times trying to speculate about who Trump will pick or not pick before you kind of talk yourself, you know, hoarse, you know. And I think that's the issue that we had last time. We spent a lot of time just waiting around. What was he going to do? Is he going to name this position? No, he's, oh, no. Oh, we're only going to take like a week or two to like name the whole cabinet? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it really has been a very different transition for right now. Hey, how is the how would you gauge the overall response that, well, of course, you know, watching some of the channels, I couldn't help but watch a little bit of it in which you're seeing Democrats' souls breaking and burning, you know, on display as they're trying to defend the Biden pardon that was issued over the weekend. How is that playing out? What are some of your favorites or stories of note, let's say, regarding that?
Well, you know, I think overall, I'll just say that there's really a couple things going on here. Overall, I would just say to journalists out there, you don't have to defend this. It's okay. You can say that this was wrong and that there's some serious issues here, or at least it smells bad.
Are there any Democrats that are actually saying that, though? Just curious.
Well, elected Democrats. You've got some elected Democrats saying that, a few House members, a few senators here or there. But the coverage can be defined in two different ways. Number one, they won't say the L word. They will not use the word lie or liar to describe what's going on here. They'll say it's in a reversal or an about face or a change, some sort of twisting themselves into pretzels to try and downgrade this, because I guess the L word lie is only reserved for Republicans and Donald Trump. And the second thing that I noticed in the coverage, especially on Sunday night with CNN using words like poignant and monumental and talking about close-knit, this family, the Biden family is sympathy.
Yeah. Close-knit, kind of like Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania mafia families when I was growing up there, too. You know,
exactly.
Yeah, we'll make you an offer you can't. You can't refuse their hunter, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, they're just love, you know, and their families have been defined by tragedy. And yes, there have been some really bad things that have happened, but I will remind people that just because you lose your brother doesn't mean you're entitled to, like, blow money away literally on crack and hookers, engage in some possible foreign money laundering, you know, with Ukraine and a few other random countries on the globe. And it also doesn't give you a right, like Joe Biden did, to spend nearly two decades lying about why his wife and daughter were killed in a car crash before Christmas. It was snowy. Things happen when it's snow. You guys know, we're in your audience as well. Instead, he spent decades saying that the tractor-trailer driver was a drunk and caused great pain to the family out there. So he spent decades currying sympathy by saying, my wife was killed by a drunk before Christmas, when that wasn't the case at all. And it's like the Kennedys. It's like the Kennedys. You know, that's the annoying thing about it. Like, they want us to think that they're just like us, when, as you point out, they're really more like a mob family.
The other thing about this, Curtis, is that, as you have just so deftly noted, Joe Biden has always been a liar, and always an incredibly intense liar. And just once, it would have been great to have had a Democrat on CNN or MSNBC, let's say, just say, well, you know, Joe lies all the time. I guess he lied to us about this one, too. Wouldn't that have been refreshing? Maybe someone did, and I missed it.
Well, I mean, a lot of the Democrats I saw yesterday, Karen Finney, Lee McGowan, this random lady on the CNN Thunderdome show, which I refer to as Abby Phillips show because it's just a complete tire fire. They all said, no, Joe Biden didn't actually lie. They're gaslighting viewers by saying, no, the circumstances changed. Joe Biden said he wouldn't pardon his son, probably with the assumption that either he was going to run for reelection or Kamala Harris was going to win the presidency. And that she would probably take care of it.
Oh, that's an interesting wrinkle. Just the assumption that somebody else was going to do the deed for him, right?
How about that? Yeah, how about that? But of course, you know, circumstances change, as they said, with Joe Biden dropping out, Kamala Harris losing, Donald Trump winning. My friend Shermichael Singleton on CNN really made this point. Well, if he had just stayed out of this entire time for over a year and just refused any and all questions about it, refused to weigh in, or even said, screw it, I'm going to pardon my son. There's nothing you guys can do about it. Okay, yeah, we would have hated it, but it's like transparency. But don't spend a year saying no. Don't send Karine Jean-Pierre out to lay on the train tracks and say, no, this isn't going to happen.
Yeah, speaking of Raggedy Ann, how has she been reacting after the event?
Oh, of course, isn't it interesting? Oh, Biden releases this on a Sunday night, then gets on a plane to go to Africa, go to Angola in Namibia or whatever countries.
Well, you know, Angola is a hot place to travel this time of year. You know, like we say, it's great. You know, it's nicer. It's
boy. You're fleeing 20-degree weather here in the United States, and you know you're going to Africa. So, Karine had a few questions on Air Force One. And she had the gall to double down. A few reporters say, didn't you mislead us? Didn't you lie? And she's like, oh, no, I didn't. But this is the thing, Bill. At the end of the day, these reporters will always come home to roost. And that's what's frustrating. The story of the Biden press corps is not the same as the Obama press corps, where they were completely enthralled and admired Barack Obama. With Joe Biden, yes, there were doses of sanity, I guess, like, you know, the opposite of a drunken stupor or the medicine you get when you get your wisdom teeth out. They had these days or news cycles of honesty and where they were tough and fierce. But at the end of the day, when the chips are down, when history needs to be written, they're going to come home. And that's exactly what they did here.
So they're going to continue to circle the wagons around the Biden so-called legacy, this being the maraschino cherry on top of the fetid sundae, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, when you put it that way, I think that's, yeah, that's pretty accurate because, you know, and they're going to move on. They're going to move on to other things. And one of the other actual conservatives on CNN, Brad Todd, from On Message, he wrote the one book after 2016 with Selena Zito that was so good. He came out and said, watch out for more Biden, Hunter Biden business partners to get pardoned. You know, I wouldn't be surprised. And he's absolutely right. If other people that worked with him at Burisma, so that would mean like Devin Archer and Jim Biden and whoever else gets pardons as well.
What about that Bob Alinsky fellow? Do you think they'll pardon him?
Well, I don't think they. I doubt they will because Bob Alinsky is one of those guys who actually spilled the beans.
Yeah, he sang. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he spilled the beans. So the Trump Justice Department wouldn't necessarily go after him. And if Merrick Garland tried to cook something up, you know, here before January 20th, you know, I would assume an Attorney General Pam Bondi and President Trump would get in there and be like, no, we're not doing any of this.
Now, Curtis, you're not going to be getting any rest over this holiday season from the looks of it. Working on anything particularly hot and fresh at the moment this morning, or is it still just kind of grinding through this cycle?
Well, stay tuned. We got two things coming up. We have a supercut of the liberal media meltdowns over Cash Patel. Our Bill DeAgostino has been working on that one. And next week, we have a labeling study from PBS. Spoiler alert, they like to use things like far right a lot, but when it comes to progressives, far left, extremists, you know, radical leftists, those kind of things, then they don't like using labels to describe the far left.
Well, I always like to hear about the network that we're forced to pay for, you know, with our tax dollars. I always look forward to those kind of stories, and I appreciate that so greatly. Curtis, always a great job over at Newsbusters. Thank you so much for joining us, and anyway, enjoy reporting on that maraschino cherry on top of the fetid sundae, okay, which is known as the Biden administration, okay?
I'll do my best. Thanks, man.
All right. Now, the other thing, one quick thing I was going to mention before you take off, though, I was reading some coverage that are saying that the Hunter Biden pardon will actually make it easier to hold the Biden administration accountable because he could be dragged into court and then be forced to testify truthfully because otherwise he'd have a perjury, you know, charge against him and he'd be right back into trouble again. But they're not going to let those people ever be called, right? They're going to pardon them all. They have to pardon them all. He's going to have to pardon them all. There's no choice at this point, like you were mentioning, right? All of them, anybody that can be called.
President Biden, yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, that's the other possibility that Hunter Biden, once he's pardoned, if he's dragged in, he could just say, yeah, I did this and I did that and I did that and there's nothing any of you can do about it.
Huh. Can't help but think that that's what drove the pardon. Thinking that after the fact, that if he didn't, he would have to be singing for the big guy, all right? Curtis, you take care. Thank you so much for the report, as always. We'll be in touch, all right? Be well.
Always a pleasure.
All right. 632 KMED, 99.3 KBXG. Curtis Houck, once again, managing editor at Newsbusters, newsbusters.org. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Health insurance doesn't have to break the bank. 80% of Oregonians received financial assistance through the Oregon Health Insurance Marketplace last year. And you might qualify too. At OregonHealthCare.gov, you can explore quality health plans.
This is Hughes Lumber. At Hughes Lumber, they offer the best lumber at the best prices to all builders. Hughes Lumber, serving everyone on Crater Lake Highway.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Now, Bill wants to hear from you. 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
639-770-5633, like the man said, Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Or Colonel Jay, you actually say you prefer Boulder in Your Boot Tuesday in this particular case, huh? How you doing there?
Yes, sir. I know everybody's squabbling about Hunter Biden and everything, but I'm concerned about the president's welfare, and he's going over to Paris on Saturday, which is, I mean, they just broadcast it. There's a lot of sleeper cells over there, and I'm just worried about his safety. Or maybe he's just a genius and is like, okay, I got it. You know, I got it covered. Don't worry about it. But
Now you're talking President Trump's headed over to Paris this weekend. I didn't realize that. What's he doing there?
Yeah,
you know, Colonel
Notre Dame. They're gonna open that Coliseum or whatever it is.
And this is incoming President Trump, not outgoing President Biden. It's going to be there.
What?
Well, no, I mean, you know, Joe is actually on the road right now. He's in Angola right now. He went to escape criticism. So he's not the one going to Notre Dame. It's going to be Trump. I'm not aware of this one. I can look it up, I guess, in just a moment.
Maybe I misspoke. But, yeah, I'm just worried about Trump because he's got lots of pressure on him. After he told, you know, Hamas and all those guys, I'm coming in on the 25th of January. You better have those hostages released or you're going to get hit harder than you ever been hit.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, you're right, though. I did find the story here while we were talking here, Colonel Jay. Notre Dame to reopen in Paris with Trump in attendance. It is kind of a hotbed of, shall we say,
Muslim
activity, you know, going on there because France is no longer for the French, kind of like how England is no longer for the English either, you know, for that matter.
They shut the doors on anybody from Arabia or anywhere in Muslim countries. And Sweden did the same. They thought it all be a fun game until they got over there. Like, oh, man, this ain't what we wanted.
Yeah. Well, what ended up happening with France especially, though, is that they ended up opening up their borders to, frankly, a lot of the members of countries that used to be part of their empire. And so they kind of looked at them as family in a odd way, I guess, Colonel Jay. But that's how it ended up happening, right?
I'm just putting it out there. Thank you very much there, Bill.
Thank you for sharing your boulder. Something tells me that President Trump will have a lot of security. And I would imagine the Frenchies will have a lot of security there, too. Besides, you know, do you really, well, should you even go? Yeah, it's like, is this the time to be going? I mean, going to Notre Dame, watching Notre Dame be being restored and reopened is quite the honor. Would it be a better idea to just kind of let go of that one this time? We could talk about it if you wish. 770-5633, Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. You can talk about things that are on your mind. Now, there is a story which has just been bubbling kind of under the system here, and this has to do with Michael Williams. Michael Williams, the school board member, met for 549C, who ended up bringing up the situation a number of months ago, the reassignment of a Medford police officer that was well-loved and had been raising some issues about safety concerns at the school. And so he ended up being reassigned by Medford police, apparently at the request of the Medford School District. That would be Brett Champion, who is the superintendent there. Michael was raising issues about that. And apparently the biggest crime in the Medford 549C school board is to go against the groupthink. I guess that's what's going on. And so now there's all sorts of complaints that have just magically popping up about him. And I just wanted to share some of what had been covered here over the last few weeks. Buffy Pollock did a story about a week, 10 days back in the Rogue Valley Times. Complaints detail concerns over the meeting between Williams and Champion, in which district employees allege Williams was swearing and yelling in front of staff. The complaints also touch on, well, was there something that was worthwhile yelling and swearing about? Or is this, once again, this soy boy approach to everything, that there's never to be any anger shown to government officialdom? This is a sacred government school. It's probably nothing at worst that's been heard inside the locker rooms of the 549C school district, but I digress. I don't know. This is just what they're claiming. The complaints also touch on Williams visiting schools without a proper notice and on wearing his work tool belt, Williams works as a hemp inspector. It contains a pair of shears and knife while on school district property. Do we not have any maintenance people that ever go on to school property? Does anybody ever carry shears? I know that there's the joke about running with running around the house with shears, you know, out in front of you so you don't want to poke eyes out and all that kind of stuff. But shears and a knife. Shears and a knife are tools in this particular case. Are they trying to make the case that shears and a knife are weapons? I'm really concerned about this because it sure strikes me as we got to get rid of this guy. Now, an earlier complaint was filed in August against an unnamed board member. Of course, we know it was him, though. They voted to refer that complaint to a third-party investigation, but an outcome of the investigation has not been announced, you know, at this time. While school district's officials declined to comment in detail to the Rogue Valley Times, officials confirmed to Channel 12 a separate criminal complaint had been filed against Williams due to bringing a long visible knife to the district's cell phone town hall November 18th at North Medford High. A long visible knife. He is an adult. This is a tool. Now, maybe he should have left it behind. I don't know. Usually the way you deal with something like that is that you just say, hey, Michael, could you just take the knife off, take the belt off, leave it in the car? Something like that. So I called up Michael, or I text messaged him, actually, because I've had him on the show a couple of times. And he's always been pretty well-spoken, very careful in choosing his words. And maybe there's something to the criminal complaint. Well, he ended up lawyering up over the last day or two. And so I asked him if he wanted to come on. And he says, Bill, this was the statement that has been approved by my attorney. I said, I've been put in the difficult position of having to retain legal counsel. I followed my attorney's advice not to attend the meeting on November 21st. As far as I know, all I ever did was ask some real questions that made administrators uncomfortable. I've been advised by counsel not to give any additional details at this time. I appreciate the continued support I've received from community members. Now, that's the quote from his attorney. And he adds to me, they said it would be best for me to wait until the criminal investigation is over before speaking publicly about it. They claim to be let me start this again. Sorry about the stumble on my part. They claim to be waiting to give me an opportunity to tell my side of the story. In reality, it is a trap to put me in a position where I have waived my Fifth Amendment rights while attempting to appear to be magnanimous. Bill, for now, they have effectively silenced me. For now. The third-party investigation on the complaint against me from August is complete. I should be getting information on that soon. It is scheduled for the December 5th board meeting. So that's this Thursday's board meeting, which they'll be talking about it. So my attorney said it would be best to hold off going on the air until at least Friday. Well, he is certainly welcome. Michael, you are certainly welcome to talk about this Friday, because I'm intrigued at with all the problems that the Medford 549C school board is facing, and a lot of it is going to be, well, declining enrollment and also declining revenue, that, boy, they seem to have a bee in their bonnet to go after this guy and get him out. And I know that Cynthia Wright, the board chair, is on record of having said that, well, if you want these investigations to go away, all you have to do is resign. Words to that effect. I'll be curious how this plays out, won't you? 648, this is KMED, 99.3 KBXG. Michael will hopefully come on the show Friday morning. By the way, Congressman Cliff Benz hasn't been on the show here for a while. Certainly not since election time, so we'll have a conversation with him also Friday morning. So it might be Michael Williams and then Congressman Cliff Benz. Good conversation as always here on The Bill Myers Show. Email bill at billmyersshow.com.
Getting ready to move? Crosstown Movers agent for Beacons Van Lines is Southern Oregon's trusted name for moving and storage, with professional, friendly service and affordable rates for moving locally, statewide, or across the country. Crosstown Movers is your local Penske truck rental dealer with a huge selection,
such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about SKYRIZI today and visit SKYRIZI.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
It's 6:52. One of the many love songs profiled. I promised we were going to have Annie Zaleski on. She's the author of We Found Love, Song by Song, the story behind the top 100 romantic hits. Annie is an award-winning writer, editor who's contributed to NPR Music, Salon, Rolling Stones, The Guardian, and a whole bunch more. Annie, welcome to the show. You're in a lovey mood, aren't you?
I am, absolutely.
Yeah. How did you decide to actually dig into the history of some of the greatest love songs? I started reading some of these stories to my wife last night, and she was really, really getting into this, and it's kind of nice to have a book available to pick up. It's not political. It's not about the elections. It's about real human emotion and feeling. I love it. It's great.
Absolutely. Thank you. So I had worked with this publisher before on a Christmas music book, and they came to me and said, hey, you know, we have this book on, you know, love songs. Are you interested in doing this? And I said, absolutely. You know, because I, you know, love songs, they're timeless. And, you know, I love them so much, no pun intended. But I didn't know the stories behind a lot of them. I didn't know how they came together, why they came together. So it was an absolute joy to research.
You know what? And I started it off with Foreigner, I Want to Know What Love Is. And that was a very important song to me because I was a young DJ in Seattle when that song came out 40-something years ago. And I was in a lonely period at that point. And then I realized the story of Mick Jones and Foreigner when he wrote that song. Share a little bit about what they did with the choir too, because we teared up at home when you shared that. Could you tell us about that? How that ended up happening?
Absolutely. So, you know, Mick wrote that song. Mick Jones, Foreigner, wrote that song late at night, around 2 a.m. And, you know, he was just thinking about human emotions. And he just really opened up and the song kind of came pouring out. And, yeah, when they ended up recording it, they basically, and Jennifer Holliday as well, another vocalist, was also on there as well. And they had this New Jersey Mass Choir on there. And so they did a few takes and it was okay. But then they all got together in a circle, held hands and said the Lord's Prayer. And then they did it in one take, which,
yeah,
you know, it gives you goosebumps just kind of thinking about that
yeah,
you know, there was something spiritual really going on in the studio at that point.
But there was sort of the spiritual and the sacred that came in that particular song. It was very touching. Great story. And all of the other ones, like I said, there's 100 stories. And now I don't know some of the very latest songs, but I mean, you go right back. What is the oldest one that you cover, the oldest of the top 100?
So the oldest one that's in there is The Way You Look Tonight, Fred Astaire. And I,
yeah,
mean, I think, my goodness, you know, I mean, you have to have Fred Astaire in there. And that's from a movie, Swing Time. And, you know, when you watch this movie, it's such a beautiful scene where basically Ginger Rogers is in the movie. She's washing her hair and she overhears the performance of Fred singing. And she slowly walks toward him and touches him on the shoulder as he's playing the song. And it just really sums it up, you know, that kind of old time glamour, old time romance of, you know, how things slowly evolve. And so, and I just love that song. I mean, that is just such a timeless song lyrically and then also musically.
Getting the story behind the songs is really interesting. And I didn't realize there were so many great stories behind this. Annie Zaleski, by the way, author of We Found Love Song by Song, the stories behind 100 romantic hits. I have to recommend this. This is a great holiday book here. And some of the funny stories behind this, like, Sonny and Cher, I Got You, Babe, right? And they had this cheesy, $50 piano in the house that they were writing it on. I guess Cher didn't even like the song, did she, if I recall?
No, and I think that's correct. And I think Sonny woke her up in the middle of the night to sing. And, like, he ended up, he changed the key a little bit or changed the kind of the arrangement a little bit for her to sing. And she was like, yeah, okay. And then finally did it. But, yeah, which is so funny. You know, then she was like, I'll sing it. I'm going back to bed. You know, leave me alone. And so, which is so Cher, you know, even back then, earlier in their career. But yeah, she didn't like it, which is funny. But I love that song. You know, that song is about two people who are underdogs, you know, us against the world. And I think that's why people still love that song so much.
And like I said, it's amazing how much some of these artists didn't like the song that they ended up being huge hits. I Got You, Babe was certainly one of those. You also mentioned Billy Joel's Just the Way You Are. And he wasn't going to put it on The Stranger in the late 1970s. And I guess there were some really huge female acts that were around him and said, oh, Billy, you got to put this on. And what happened with that story, huh?
Absolutely. You know, he didn't like it that much. And, you know, and it was so Phoebe Snow and Linda Ronstadt were basically like, what are you doing? You have to keep that on the album. You know, and I guess I found a quote from Billy where he said, yeah, well, okay, I guess girls like that song. It's a chick song. And put it on, and it was huge, you know. But he didn't play it for a while either, because I think it reminded him of who he wrote it about, which was an ex-wife. And so when I look back at set lists, I'm like, sure enough, you know, that had not been in his set list for a while, which is so funny.
Yeah, he was about his first wife, like you wrote about that. Of all the 100, what is your top favorite if you had to pick one out of all of your babies there?
Oh my goodness, that's what. You know, I have to say, and this is funny enough because it's a song about friendship, or meant to, but Don't You Forget About Me by Simple Minds. You know, it was in the Breakfast Club, but I love that song. Every time I hear that song, if I'm in the car, I turn it up, and it makes me happy. And there's something so poignant about that, like, please don't forget about me. You know, mm-hmm. even, you know, maybe where our lives take us, just remember me a little bit. And I just love the music of it, too. It's like a classic 80s kind of new wave ballad, you know, power ballad. And, I'm a big Simple Minds fan anyway, and I just really love that song.
Yeah, and I was reading that Jim actually hates that song, and he never really liked it. Another example, like one of the biggest hits, he says, that's not us. Did he tell you of that, or did he have a different story or change of heart now? Just curious.
He definitely had to be persuaded to sort of record it. And it's funny that they tried to get a lot of people to record that song, and they weren't available. Like Brian Ferry from Roxy Music was busy.
Yeah.
And so he almost sang that song. And so, yeah, they had a hard time trying to get someone. Like they really had to kind of do some heavy convincing to get Simple Minds to do that.
Yeah. Of all the 100 that I've been reading, I haven't read them all yet. I'm going to finish it this week. But I love Al Green's Let's Stay Together. And you talked about, I guess he was over-singing the song, and they were doing working days trying to get the vocals right. And it was about all getting it softer, right? He had to get it softer and softer and softer. And he got frustrated, didn't he, trying to make that happen?
Absolutely. And, like, he had to, like, go away and basically say, you know, because he wasn't getting it, and then came back and nailed it. And so, and it was one of those things where it's like, you know, just be yourself. And I think that's a very common story, too, that people are, when you don't try so hard, when you just kind of let your instincts come out, you know, you have a better song and you have a better performance.
Great stories. Great stories, Annie. Great book. And I highly recommend this one. We Found Love, Song by Song, The Stories Behind 100 Romantic Hits. It'll give you a great feeling in your heart, okay? Thank you so much. Merry Christmas. And you be well, okay? Take care.
Sounds good. You too.
7 o'clock. This is KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KBXG Grants Pass. This is the Bill Myers Show. We're going to have town hall news coming up for you in just a flash.
Cartwright's Medford Market invites